This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Right now, get the lowest price at EdenPure.com with code word GRACE. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We have a lot to get to. I'm going to move on here from some of the national stories and get a little local with the snitch line reports that my boss and the guy I lead into his show here, Howie Carr, he got a hold of the snitch line, and I just think it would make for a really nice midweek break for us. It's been a heavy week with all of this stuff. We've been covering it. I feel good about it. I think we've done it justice here, and we'll keep covering it as the stories keep breaking. But Derek Chauvin, the verdict was guilty. We talked about it in the first hour. We'll probably talk about it again. But for right now, I think people could use a little bit of some different news. So I'm going to open up the phone lines and we're going to have a little fun here. 844-500-4242. Now, before I do that, before we get into the snitch line, I want to read one tweet, though, that I just saw that I think really describes the situation, the knife fight, as people are describing it. My producer, Jared, pointed out it's not really a knife fight if only one person has the knife. A fight kind of implies that both people have weapons. There was a teenager in Columbus, Ohio. She was shot by a police officer. She was black, but she was shot because she was not because of racism, because she was stabbing a girl outside of a house. The cop was called, and he shot the woman with the teenager with the massive knife. And this person, Zay Jelani, tweeted, "The Micaiah Bryant case is an encapsulation of the media and political classes' pathologies. Had she simply stabbed the other girl to death, it would have never made a national news story. Activists wouldn't have complained. Grieving family members would have been ignored." And that's very true. There's a lot of violence and death that happens in the black communities that you hear nothing about. You know, CNN, MSNBC, they don't cover it because it doesn't help their narrative at all. And I kept thinking that when I was seeing this story about the massive knife and Kathy Griffin's, you know, basically tweeting, who hasn't had a knife fight? You know, whose high school hasn't seen a fight like this break out? And I'm just thinking, so what's the solution for the cop then? He just lets one girl stab the other, just puts his hands up and goes, hey, you know, I can't do anything about it, lest I be called racist by the rest of the country. And that's where we're at. Now, back to the moment you've all been waiting for. It is time to go over the snitch line. As you guys have probably read at this point, there's a lot of pressure on Charlie Bacon to lift not the mask mandate. People don't think that he's going to do that. You know, we know that Charlie Baker takes baby steps here. So Chris Sununu in New Hampshire lifted the mask mandate. That puts Charlie Baker maybe a year out from doing that. But it's getting really nice out. And the studies show that passing COVID outside, transmitting the virus outside, is incredibly low. I'm talking lower than the other rates we've seen for this. I mean, the death rates for young kids and young adults are very low, but the transmission rate outside is minuscule. So there's been a lot of talk that maybe Baker has to loosen the reins on all of us sorry people. And that brings me to the topic, which you can find on GraceCurlyShow.com or HowieCarrShow.com, which is Charlie Baker's snitch line. Now, if you're not familiar with this, this is when Karens in your neighborhood call the police or call the snitch line because they want to complain about people having too much fun. That's basically what it is. And I've heard Howie talk about this before. I didn't really think, I didn't really think he was going to find much. I didn't think people really use this. I was wrong. Some of these are wild. Okay, so it says, describe, this is in East Boston, describe your concern. Blank in East Boston hosting soccer tournament on Sunday afternoons with spectators, full game, no masks, players, and some fans. The horror. Type of concern, large gathering. Describe your concern. Making drinks at the bar without masks. Workers were not wearing masks. Allowed customers to walk around maskless. No, now I'm gonna have to put my Elizabeth Warren, because these sound like, I gotta put a Karen voice on for these. Overcapacity for coffee shop. I stopped in and there were 30 people in the shop at the same time, and no regulations, no posted max capacity, no one telling anyone to wait, no distance or clear lines marked out for ordering. These are amazing. It blows my mind that when people see other people gathering, you know what my reaction is? I'm like, yes, it's literally like I just took a sip of a beautiful cocktail when I see a group of people without masks. I just let out a sigh and I smile and I think back to the old days where we all were normal. You know, we weren't a country of freakazoids. And I reminisce, you know, memories like the corners of my mind. And it's a beautiful thing. But other people see these gatherings and they freak out. On Saturday, March 20th, and Sunday, March 21st, blank, they blank out the names of the establishments, is hosting blank. Over these 2 days, 41 hockey teams will play to determine a champion. Teams will play 3 to 4 games each. There will be 4 games going on at once from 7 to 5 p.m. each day. The teams are made up of 8 to 9 players. So over 300 players will be involved. Oh, wow. Blank scheduled live rock show indoors with singing. With singing. And that was specifically against the rules. I walked into the... No. So some of these you have to keep in mind. I'm doing a Karen voice, but some of these are young Karen. Some of these are the woke, you know, just graduated college types. I walked into the building and I felt uncomfortable in seeing employees without face masks. And one of the male workers was coughing without a mask and definitely not 6 feet apart with other customers. No one except the bartender had on a mask and the place was packed. Hell yeah, that sounds like my kind of place. I wish we had the actual names of these places so I could go and support their businesses. Oh my gosh. I picked up takeout today and the indoor dining area was filled to near capacity. Tables were seated back to back with less than 1 to 2 feet distance between them. And there was at least one very large party over 10 people. I was appalled at the owner/manager's lack of concern for these young women's health and lives. He's talking about the waitresses. Oh, God. Guys, we are so screwed. We are. This is not good.
You Nazi psychopaths.
Get out. Get out. I am scared and I'll keep reading these. Walked in, the place was packed. Karaoke going on. And even the wait staff was participating. No.
Oh, no, not reality. Somebody stop him.
Oh, my gosh. These are literally so bad. They are planning a St. Patrick's Day event with a live band selling tickets. Oh, wowzers. I have visited this restaurant a few times now, and I have noticed that not only is the owner walking around without a mask on, he is approaching tables and talking to people. I think I know what this restaurant is. I think I know this restaurant, and that guy is awesome. We will keep going with these. Wow, there's a lot. I thought I was going to run out, but we could do this for the rest of the show. Oh, my gosh. David, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, David.
Hi, Grace. First time calling. I'm glad you have your own show. I think it's terrific.
Oh, thank you.
So I lived in New York for a while, and there are lots of problems that seem to be endemic to minority communities. You've got high rates of crime. You've got economic stagnation. You also have society-wide questions like differences in test scores, differences in achievement, and the blaming of all this on a kind of subliminal racism takes the air out of the room to try to solve these problems. And it is a recipe for really having no solution at all, because the people who seem to be promoting this kind of tacit or latent racism are the rich people, basically, and their children, who walk by these neighborhoods on perhaps on the way to the subway, or see them when they're being driven to the airport in Uber, and want to feel like they're doing something, as opposed to really doing something.
Right. No, David, you just put that so well, and that's what I've been feeling over the last couple of years, is that where are the solutions? You know, everyone's so eager to get in front of the cameras and talk about racism and talk about, but it's only issues that they think help that narrative. I mean, like you said, when it comes to schools, when it comes to violence in those communities, whether it's gun violence, whatever it is, nobody wants to talk about it. And you're right, it does take the air out of the room. It makes the entire thing about this vague idea that everyone's racist. And there's no solution to that. I mean, critical race theory, I guess, is the solution, but that's really not going to do anything. There's no concrete ideas coming out of the Democrats and the liberals. And you put that really, really well. I so appreciate the call, David. Please call back another time. The Biden administration's policies and executive orders are already causing some economic disturbance of all kinds. Tax laws are going to change. Your tax burden on selling real estate will grow. Don't get caught flat-footed and squander the equity in your real estate built up over years or decades. Sell today with J.J. Manning. For over 40 years, J.J. Manning has been the leading auction house in New England. From high-end homes to estates to commercial properties throughout New England, J.J. Manning can get your property sold fast and contingency-free. There is a big reason why Mass Lawyers Weekly voted J.J. Manning number one for four consecutive years in a row, because they have a huge following of bidders who pay cash. Cash is key. When you sell with a broker, you pay the commission, but in an auction, the buyer pays. These are treacherous times in the real estate market. Some sectors are at all-time highs, but others are losing ground. Don't wait until Joe Biden destroys this sector of the economy, too, before you cash out. You don't want to wait on that, because that's a big deal. If you have a lot of money involved, you want to cash out now, because you don't know what's going to happen next with Joe Biden. To learn more on how to get your property sold fast, contact Charlie Gill at jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Call them today at 1-800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. Do you know one of these Karens? Do you know someone who would call up and complain about seeing the most beautiful sight in the world, which is a restaurant packed to the brim? I want to know. 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Call the snitch line if you see anyone taking a deep breath of fresh air. Sans mask. You know what I'm wondering to myself right now? Not to make this about me. I would hate to do that. But I'm thinking, how many times has someone called the snitch line on me? How many times has someone seen me walking about?
Well, you did recognize that restaurant. You may have been there that night.
I've been to a couple restaurants that I know are breaking the rules, and I love it. I love it. I'll go back to them for the rest of my life. Let's keep reading some of these. Actually, first of all, we'll go to Dan. You're next with Grace. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, Grace. Thanks for taking the call. Grace, I have to say that I've been snitched on about every single day that I go into the store. I happen to breathe freely. I don't use a mask just for the fact that it inhibits me, and I don't feel that well when I'm using one. So, unfortunately, the store manager and I have got to know each other quite well. What he says to me is, he goes, "Oh, you have a medical?" I says, "Of course I do." And I choose not to wear the mask because of it. However, there are people that come to him. He told me right out that people go into the store, they count everyone who doesn't have a mask, count them, and then go to him and say, "What are you going to do about it?" And the brave ones are confronting me, the ones that don't shuffle off to the management and complain, confront me to the point of where somebody wanted to beat me up while I was checking out the food. And I'm not lying. I'm 60 years old, and, you know, I haven't had a brawl in quite a lot, you know, quite a many years. But I'm not afraid. But I'm going to tell you right now, this person was using the F-bomb. Jeez. They were telling me that they were going to beat me up. They were saying that, you know, basically, you know, I hate to say this, but using the F-bomb so loud that every cashier in the whole entire place stopped and everybody looked. And then when he said he was going to beat me up, I says, "Look, buddy, you're about the same age as me. I'm 250 pounds. You realize that if you really stir me up, the only way you're going to win is if you run away. Because if I get my hands on you, I'm just going to destroy you. I don't want to, but if you keep pushing me, I'm going to have to."
But Dan, I just, my real thing that I don't understand, because it's so against my nature, is this desire to get in people's business. And, you know, it's happened to friends of mine. They'll be somewhere, you know, without their mask on properly, and people will come up within inches of their face, Joe Biden style. "Can you put your mask on?" It's like, I can feel your breath on me. That's how close you are. Maybe you just take a couple steps back. Whatever happened to, like, personal agency? Oh, you're nervous. You want to wear a mask? Wear one. But leave me alone. And Dan brings up a great point, because as much as sometimes we want to criticize these restaurants or these management for enforcing these rules, it's not something they want to do. It's the snitches that will call up Charlie Bacon's patrol and say, "This restaurant's breaking the rules," and then they lose their liquor license. And a lot of these places, I do wear a mask just to help out them, because I don't want to add the extra stress. But when it's a person, who doesn't have anything to do with the business, who just wants to get up in my business, that's when I take issue with it. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsby Inn, located on beautiful Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. That's Follinsby Inn, spelled Follansbee. Go to follinsbyinn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which mass political hack is the most embarrassing? Charlie Bacon Parker, Ed Markey, or Elizabeth Warren?
I'm going to say Ed Markey.
Ed Markey is taking the lead at 41%.
Awesome.
40% say Elizabeth Warren, and Charlie Bacon Parker polling at 19%.
All right, Chris, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Chris.
All right. I just wanted to talk about, I get out of work at night, and I turn my police scanner on just because I like to hear what's going on in the city. And I'm in the Portland area, and I swear to God, there's someone driving around the city looking for people that are having parties and calling the police to report too many people at a building or whatnot.
Ugh.
Yeah, and so I so much agree with you. It's like, what is it your business? You know, you're not there. You're not at the party. You weren't even invited. So go about your day.
And Chris, my real thing is, it's not just with this. I mean, this is a huge way that we can all see it happening on a day-to-day basis, but we have become a society of hall monitors, of people who look back at people's old tweets and get them in trouble, and people who tattletale. And I just never, I don't know when it happened exactly, but I don't know what this obsession is with ratting people out and finding out that people did something wrong and then reporting it to the authorities about, it baffles me. It really does. We'll read some more of these, but we have Kalen Dorr coming up next, and you don't want to miss that. He wants to talk about the Green New Deal, the new Green New Deal, and I can't wait. This is The Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I promise I am not done with the snitch line. Wow, these are unbelievable. This is one of my favorites right here. I went into the restaurant to pick up my food, and I saw about 30 individuals at the bar, close together, without masks on. When I asked the owner what was going on, he shrugged his shoulders. Yeah, he's like, you know, people are having fun. People, I'm making money. What can I say? It's free America. I don't blame the guy. We have a lot more of these. We might have to get some dramatic music for some of these because some of them are just frightening. Some of the freedom that is happening in this country. I have to say, though, these are all in Massachusetts, and I wish I saw more places like this. I've only run across one establishment that seemed to really be kind of avoiding any of these rules that we have. Otherwise, every place I go into, whether it's, you know, supermarket, whatever, they're pretty strict. So I am going to look into what these actual names are of these establishments so I can start visiting them. All right, guys, I'm very excited about our next guest, Kalen Dorr. He's been on the show before. And when he was on the show before, we talked a lot about his Twitter and how funny his tweets are and his job with the Trump administration. But right now, Kalen is on for something else, a new endeavor that he has started. Kalen, thank you so much for joining the show.
Hey, Grace. No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. This the call-ins from folks have been really, really compelling. This has been quite the look at the state of affairs in Massachusetts. I don't blame you. You got to get down to Florida.
Kalen, I need to get out. I need to get out, and I needed to get out yesterday. It is not good here. It is. We are in lockdown, my friend. Kalen, tell us a little bit about the America First Policy Institute. Who's involved in this, and what you guys are doing?
Oh, absolutely. So this week we launched the America First Policy Institute. Our president and CEO, Brooke Rollins, who is actually the head of the Domestic Policy Council of the White House, Larry Kudlow, who you all probably know very well. He's been a staple in the movement for, you know, longer than I can remember. He's the vice chair and board chairman of our Center for American Prosperity. So he's kind of taken on the economics. And then the chair of our board, Linda McMahon, who was our SBA administrator during the Trump administration, kind of joined forces. And the spirit of the organization is essentially, you know, when time ran out in January, what if we just didn't put our pencils down as a movement, right? What if we continue to develop policy and things that, you know, explore and research things that, you know, continue the work that was started under the Trump administration. And so that's what we're doing here. There are about 20 centers and 40 staff, and everyone's kind of working around the clock and not putting their pencils down in order to make sure that, you know, we're still developing those things, and that, you know, when Biden eventually steps down, or doesn't win election, that, you know, the movement remains strong and grounded in, you know, strong policy.
And Kalen, we are going to have a little fun during this segment and talk about the Green New Deal and talk about CNN and Project Veritas and all that good stuff. But I did want to ask you, because this is a question I get from a lot of people, which is people are feeling, you know, every day when I do the show, I have plenty of sound. I have tons of material with Joe Biden. And I always say it would be funny if it wasn't so sad. And the feeling I get from most of America right now is that they are sad and they are a little bit scared of the future, the integrity of our elections, if we're ever going to get back into power again, and kind of the destruction that the Democrats seem to be pretty intent on. What do you say to people who are feeling a little bit discouraged?
You know, I would say help is on the way. There is feeling that way, you know, while it may be out of everyone's control, it's a symptom of, you know, the Democrats' oppression, and this is what they want, right? This is when you feel down, this is how they win. The entire, you know, leftist movement is engineered to separate us from one another, right? To segment the Republican Party and make sure, you know, we aren't united as a front. And you know, I would take solace in the fact that you're not alone. If you're a conservative out there, whether you're, you know, 12 or 82, you know, you're not alone in feeling that you know, some of the policies being put forth by the Biden administration, some of the narratives that they're, you know, putting forward, and not even just Biden, but, you know, Congress as well. You know, if you're discouraged by the fact that Maxine Waters is out, you know, calling for open confrontation, if, you know, you're not alone in feeling those things. And, you know, not only, you know, I would encourage everyone to find, you know, for lack of a better phrase, I'm rolling my eyes here. I know you can't see me, but find a safe space, find a community of folks to talk to and really share ideas, because that's, you know, that's how we keep our movement alive. That's how we put America first. That's kind of what I also say. Follow me on Twitter. I tweet too many times about finding pop arts in my blazer jacket pockets at work. So that's also a good way to fight the blues.
Yes, no, exactly. And I know I roll my eyes, too, when you say safe space. But I do know what you mean, because I think a lot of times people are so afraid to speak up and voice their opinions because they don't think anyone else shares them, or they think they're going to get canceled or ostracized. And really, you would be surprised, guys, how many people. And it's the same reason why Rush Limbaugh was so successful. It's the same reason why talk radio is so successful, is because people get in their cars and they go, oh, I feel that way, too. And the truth is that there's a huge part of America that feels exactly how, you know, if you're listening to the show, people feel just like you are right now. And you can't get down. Now, Kaylin, let's move on. Speaking of some of this legislation, I have to say, I knew that the Green New Deal was bad, but then they had to formally reintroduce it, and I was reminded all over again. What do you think of this legislation, of Ed Markey, speaking of Massachusetts, getting once again in front of the cameras to introduce this? Are you as disgusted as all of us are?
It's a really scary piece of legislation. It is straight from a horror movie, in that, you know, just when you think it's gone, it finds its way back into your life, right? you know, this isn't simply put, this is transformative policy that is hardly related to fighting climate change. It's a $90 trillion bill with wish list items like universal health care and like a guaranteed jobs plan. Some kind of the most wild ideas you could think of from a leftist perspective. And the fact that they're reintroducing it again, you know, I'm not one to speak. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a liberal. But, you know, one would think that this means it is like the official party platform. It shows where Democrats want to take our country. And after, you know, 4 or 5 years of just incredible economic prosperity, this legislation, which is, again, an unfettered disaster, really threatens any potential economic growth for, you know, our children, our children's children, and so on.
Right. And it seems like it's all really clouded in vague terms, in the same way that the infrastructure bill, they started saying everything was infrastructure. Child care is infrastructure. Donuts are infrastructure. You know, wind is infrastructure. Everything was infrastructure. And now I'm seeing this with the Green New Deal. Everything is climate change, or everything is a means of combating climate change. And you're right. I'm looking at some of these numbers and it says, you know, $1 trillion here. $172 billion on public housing over 10 years. And I'm kind of sitting there going, I don't know a lot about global warming, but I don't really see what this has to do with it.
I mean, Grace, AOC was on the Capitol steps the other day blaming racial injustice in our country on global warming, which I can't even fathom the mental gymnastics you have to do in order to bend yourself into that kind of pretzel and say that and truly believe it, right? And I think the most scary part of all this, right, is that for the first time, you know, in our lifetimes, you know, we saw a consequential president who put forth policies that really tapped into, you know, what makes our country great. The spirit of America is kind of how I like to talk about it, because, you know, I talk about this so much. And, it, you know, inspiring innovation and opportunity and, you know, expanded access is more specifically expanded access to things like shale oil and fracking. And, I mean, we saw reduced prices in the energy sector. It saved, I think, the average family for about $2,500 a year, which is just absolutely bonkers. And already, you know, Biden's taken office in January, and already, you know, gas prices in my neighborhood are going up, and that's just not going to stop. If this is their party platform, then, you know, I'm gonna have to get in better shape and go buy a bicycle and bike to work every day. This is it's untenable.
Yeah, I mean, gas prices are going up everywhere, but if it makes you feel any better, there are dogs in the White House again, and there are no more mean tweets. So that should make you feel a little bit better as you pull out your credit card. Now, Kaylin, I do want to talk. It is called the America First Policy Institute, and when we talk about the Green New Deal and some of anything to do with climate change, the part of it that I find the most amazing is the fact that a lot of what they want to do, the Democrats want to do with climate change and their way of fighting it, is by putting America last, because we are no longer going to be energy independent. We are going to start, you know, kind of hamstringing ourselves with all of these rules. And in the meantime, other countries are just going to get more powerful and they're not going to care as much about all of these rules that they will break.
Yeah, and you know, every time this issue comes up, I'm reminded of an incredible line in President Trump gave a speech in the Rose Garden when withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accords, and everyone kind of remembers it, right? He says that you know, our leaders are elected to represent Pittsburgh, not Paris, and this kind of is a symptom of the way that like liberal ideology dictates policy decisions. Exactly like you said, it's putting America last. It's almost teaching, you know, training future generations that to be American is to be, you know, ashamed of certain parts of your country, or, you know, you should be willing to sacrifice so that we could be more like Paris, right? And we were already on the path towards improving our global environmental outlook, right? Like all these things that they claim that they're solving with this bill, we've been solving slowly since 2005. You know, we've reduced emissions by more than any country in the world from, I think, like 2005 to 2018. So, you know, this is it's bald-faced lying in order to achieve, you know, this intended narrative that a lot of our politicians have. Unfortunately, they're not proposing policies that put America first because they've got something else in mind. They know the destination they want to go to, and they're going to do whatever it takes to get there.
And you just mentioned that line about Pittsburgh and Paris, but I always remember the Trump line where he said, you know, other countries get a break because they're growing countries. And then he said, can we be growing too? And I always think that, like, why do we have to take a back seat to all these other countries? Why are Democrats so opposed to us being strong and independent and forceful on the national stage? Kaylin Dorr, lastly, I just wanted to ask you, what was your reaction when you saw, I mean, I know that you are very much aware that CNN was not a fan of Trump in his 4 years as president. But when you saw that Project Veritas video where CNN, Charlie Chester, was just admitting that they were trying their hardest to get Trump out, how did you feel?
So, you know, yeah, media bias and media accountability are kind of my bread and butter. And all that aside, I think the most shocking thing was that this Charlie Chester guy got 5 dates on Tinder with somebody and wasn't suspicious of it. I think that was probably the most alarming part of this. When you work at CNN, I can't imagine that happens often. But, I mean, it's just absolutely shocking. Things like, just to connect it to what you were talking about earlier, things like people ratting out their neighbors going to restaurants and things like that, it's all a symptom of this media, this bias, right? They know, like I said, the same thing with the Democrats and the left applies to the media here at large. You know, they know where they want to go, and they'll do anything, you know, they can to get there. I mean, the guy used words like, you know, propaganda, manipulating coverage to support Black Lives Matter's narrative. Like, they know exactly what they're doing, and you know, it's really warping the sense of truth, you know, among our, you know, fellow men and women. And that's why you see things like what you're describing here. I could sit here and listen to you. You take calls from people all day. And I think you could, if you left the line open, you'd be flooded with things all day long. And it's because, you know, this is just a larger symptom of, you know, a very sick industry.
Yeah. And I think that the scary part is that a lot of people realize it and pay attention, but then there's other people, and Kaylin, I know you know this, you know, younger people our age who get the alerts from CNN and they just look at it and go, oh, okay, now I know the story. They just get the little ping on their phone and that's it. All right. They don't do any deep diving. Kaylin Dorr, thank you so much for being with us. America First Policy Institute, we're very excited. We hope to have on another one of your group members maybe next week would be great. And you guys can follow Kaylin on Twitter at KDorr, D-O-R-R, _USA. Thanks so much for joining the show, Caitlin.
Hey, thank you, Grace. Y'all take care.
Since I was in my early 20s, and you guys know this by now, I've struggled with acid reflux. I actually got a little bit yesterday. I had some Chipotle. And what happened was, all I had to do when I got it was I went and I got my Balance 7. I took a quick little shot of Balance 7, and it really does help long-term with acid reflux. So if you start to feel it coming, you can take this, and it actively just kind of ruins any chance of your acid reflux from ruining your day. If you get heartburn or if you just don't feel that great, Balance 7 is great for you. And this is why. Balance 7, you'll learn why balancing your body is so important for the performance of your immune system. So you want to go to balance7.com. You simply drink a total of 3 ounces a day. And within 72 hours, most people begin to have more energy, greater clarity of thought, and just feel healthier overall. Order your 1 month supply at balance7.com. Use code word GRACEFREE to save $10 off your first order and get free shipping. Plus, if you're one of the first 50, you'll also get smooth skin, an exfoliant and deep cleansing skin conditioner valued at $13.99. You will get it for free. If you're like me and you've struggled with acid reflux or heartburn, you've probably tried it all. Well, I can tell you, none of it compares to Balance 7. I've had a lot of people reach out to me and say, what's the product you talk about with heartburn? So I'm going to say it one more time. Balance 7. Order now. Receive $10 off your first order of a 30-day supply. Get free shipping and a chance to receive smooth skin conditioner at no charge. All by using my code word, GRACEFREE. That's code word GRACEFREE. We'll be back on the other side. We'll open up the phone lines. 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato chips.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
My Karen readings of these snitch line reports is getting high praise right now from the listeners, and
as well it should.
You know what, guys? You know what that means. You ask and you shall receive. I will do more of these in the 2 o'clock hour. I got one right here. This is from West Springfield. Went into this place to get my kid's haircut. Not one of the barbers were wearing a mask. And no one was wearing a mask at all. Even customers, they were drinking, and it was a lot of people inside to where people were standing up. There are no plastic dividers or anything, and no one is staying. No one is staying 6 feet apart. I have to say, these Karens could really use a little lesson in punctuation. There's a lot of run-on sentences happening here, and it makes it hard for me to read them in my typical dramatic fashion. I think we'll keep going with this in the next segment, but the Biden administration has weighed in on the Oklahoma shooting of the teenager who tried to stab, I'm sorry, Ohio, who tried to stab another person outside of a house. We have the audio. Let's play this.
The killing of 16-year-old Mikayla Bryant by the Columbus police is tragic. She was a child. We're thinking of her friends and family in the communities that are hurting and grieving her loss. We know that police violence disproportionately impacts Black and Latino people in communities, and that Black women and girls, like Black men and boys, experience higher rates of police violence. We also know that there are particular vulnerabilities that children in foster care like Mikayla face. And her death came, as you noted, just as America was hopeful of a step forward after the traumatic and exhausting trial of Derek Chauvin and the verdict that was reached. So our focus is on working to address systemic racism and implicit bias head on, and of course to passing laws and legislation that will put much needed reforms.
Yeah, that pretty much fits what I thought she was going to say. Nothing surprising there. These police officers, I would not be surprised if people just start walking off the job. They're getting no support from the Biden administration, from the unifier in chief, nonetheless. We'll be back.